Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from Amos chapter 7. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will never again pass by them. Dear friends in Christ, have you ever been caught doing something wrong? You know, caught with your hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. We like to hide our sins, as futile as that is, but when we are caught in sin, it can be a very hard thing to concede. Why? I can say in my own experience, most people come to me for counsel, and when they do, it is not to admit the guilt of sin, but they want a rubber stamp on their actions. They often don't come with guilt, but excuses as to why they cannot do what God desires. One time, a young man was in my office and said to me, my parents, they demand too much. They are too strict. So last weekend, I had to disobey them and take the car and go to that party at my friend's house. I said, of course you did. There is nothing in God's word or God's law that asks you to obey your parents, especially if they are being unreasonable. Being a good Lutheran lad, he said, well, what about the fourth commandment? Ah, that's just a guideline, I said, kind of a shades of gray area in the top 10 countdown. I said, you know, it really shouldn't be ranked as number 4, more like number 11. He could see that I was being facetious, and I continued, you're right, number 4 is a pretty big one. And you broke it. But my parents are unreasonable, he quipped. Maybe, I said, but when it comes to the commands, there is no excuse for breaking them. I can't be me and follow their rules, he said. You can't be the real you, I said, echoing his statement. You can't be the doing your own thing kind of you. You can't be the going your own way kind of you. Exactly, he said. I said, you can't be the paying for your own schooling kind of you, filling your own fridge kind of you, putting gas in your own car that you paid out of your own pocket kind of you. He stopped and smiled. I said to him, I was once a young man and know the seductive nature of the world and the clout of my own sinful nature. But regardless of what may affect us, our desires, other influences, even the debate in our own minds, God's commands are a line in the sand that to cross means to sin. So you're saying that I sinned? He asked me. There have been many times where I have been caught with my hand in the cookie jar, so to speak, and when God's law is brought to my attention like I didn't already know it, I do all kinds of mental gymnastics to excuse myself. I do these mental gymnastics, so I don't need to ask myself or my God the question, so you're saying that I've sinned. We are kings and queens of making excuses, and we have inherited this from our sinful father and mother, Adam and Eve, who when caught by God in the sin of disobedience in the garden, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they responded with excuses. Adam said, well, the woman you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree and I ate it. And Eve said, well, the serpent deceived me and I ate it. As sinners, we say, well, I had to drive that fast because I had to get home to take care of my children. I couldn't take the nagging of my wife anymore. I couldn't take my husband's laziness anymore. I had to cheat on the test because pressure for marks is so high to get into university. The government doesn't need my taxes anyway. However, God has set a plumb line in the midst of his creation called the law. The law is not like the border between the U.S. and Canada, where there is some question as to where you are standing or jogging. The law of God is not a shades of gray stripe, a mark that moves, or a line in the sand that can be washed away. When God speaks his law, no one can stand before it. As the psalmist says, and as we quoted this morning, O Lord, if you kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Amos himself preaching God's words to the people of Israel in today's Old Testament lesson is told on behalf of Amaziah from the king himself. The land is not able to bear all your words, so go away. Martin Luther said that before he understood the gospel, he hated God. He hated God's law, and he knew that his works could not placate God himself. We sin, and God calls us on it through his law. There is no one righteous, no, not one. And what do we deserve for stepping over the line? We deserve death. In the gospel lesson for today, we hear the story of how John the Baptist confronts Herod for his sin. Herod has unlawfully taken his brother Philip's wife as his own. And John calls him on it. And Herod's wife is furious. As scripture records, Herod seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. Herod could not deny what he had done, and there was no excuse for his sin, so he did the next best thing. He locked up the accuser. We love to deny our sin, excuse our sin. But we know well our sin when the law of God is spoken to us. It is why the world hates the word of God. It teaches the truth about a holy and righteous God that holds the world to account for breaking his moral law. The Bible is banned in whole countries, pushed out of schools, denied in courts, and ignored in society because it talks about a God that holds people accountable for sin. And like Herod, and often like me, the world does not want to be held accountable. For preaching the word of God, John is locked up by Herod. In many countries in the Middle East, preachers are locked up. In North Korea, preachers are locked up. In Africa, preachers are locked up. And so far, I am not locked up. But friends, the days are coming where here, the word of God will not be borne by our kings. It will be too much for them to bear. The good news is, though, is that John came out of prison okay. Wait, no, he did not. John lost his head. John was decapitated because the king, though he liked John and recognized that he was a holy and righteous man, had his ear bent by his unscrupulous wife. Herodias hated John for pointing out her sin, and with murder in her heart, instead of asking for half of Herod's kingdom on behalf of her daughter, she asks for John's head on a platter. I find it ironic that as a sinner, I have stepped over God's plumb line of the law for half a glance, half a chance to look cool in front of my friends, half an ounce of silver. But Herodias will forgo half a kingdom to kill a man of God. How powerful is the sinful nature in us that we have the gall to say in the face of God's law, "So you're saying that I've sinned?" The young man in my office asked me, "So you're saying that I've sinned?" "Yes," I said, and without hesitation, he sighed and said to me, "So now what?" "Now comes the good stuff," I said. "You are forgiven in Christ Jesus." I said, "You are forgiven for all of your sins, for this one, for the ones you committed yesterday, for the ones that you will commit tomorrow. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you so that you might be forgiven for all of your sins and given the strength to go back and tell your parents that you are sorry." Dear friends, we are sinners. Kings and paupers, preachers and teachers, parliamentarians and publicans alike are all sinners. God's law condemns us, but to know who God is to also know what he has done. And that is forgiven you all of your sins for the sake of his son. The psalmist said, "If you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" We break God's law. The record shows it. But the psalmist continues, "But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared." Dear friends, for the sake of Christ, the record is gone, erased, eradicated by the shed blood of Christ. Today, Pharaoh's record of sin is gone, washed away, blotted out by the water and the name of God into which she and all of us were baptized. From here on in, Pharaoh can be the real her, and you can be the real you, because the real you is the forgiven you, the child of God who lives without fear of death. And why? Because of Jesus, because of him and him alone, because he has gone ahead of you to prepare a place for you, your eternal home. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let us pray. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in and through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, Pastor Cy here. I hope this message was encouraging for you. At Riverbend Lutheran Church, our goal is to support Christians in their daily walk with God and in proclaiming the love of Christ to a lost and broken world. We're a small and inviting congregation welcoming any and all who are sinful, hurting, seeking, or simply broken. Whether you're already a Christian and are looking for a church home, or you're undecided about your faith and looking for answers, you are welcome here. We have a number of programs for all ages and walks of life. Sunday mornings we have worship followed by educational programs for all ages. Please join us. For more information, you can visit us online at www.riverbendlutheran.com, call us at 780-430-7382, or email me at pastor@riverbendlutheran.com. Better yet, stop in for a visit. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace.